Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. And I'm over here at the Lighthouse on a Wednesday morning. It's a really warm morning. I'm here at 7 o'clock and it's 70 degrees. But the lake is beautiful. It's calm as a piece of glass all the way across the lake. Just saw two fishermen go out to do some fishing and made a nice little bit of a wave, and then it calmed right back down again. So it's really special for me to be coming to you this morning as the message, and I'm glad to be sharing with you. You tune me in, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we stream this broadcast live, by the way, of WDLP.fm. You tune me in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM, or over in the lower area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome all of you this morning. Others that tune me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and I welcome you. And we're now streaming both WION and WGLM. Our stations are streaming the broadcast live by the way of the web. Others are tuning me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome those of you that's listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. Take your mouse and bring it up over to Messages from the Lighthouse, and then you can click on Current Media, and the very top one would be my broadcast for this morning. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just glad to have you be a part of our time together this morning, and looking forward to sharing with you the message that God has laid upon my heart for this week, and we're trusting God to take it and to use it for His honor and His glory. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. To Doug and Lorraine Lane family, and they're from the Sheridan area. To Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belding area. And, of course, Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for about 50 years. And we are back at meeting at the building now at Shiloh and also in Greenville. At Shiloh, we meet Saturday evening at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then a contemporary service at 10:45. We've got it so it's all spaced out good, and we wear the mask and all those kinds of things, but we give you an invitation to come and be a part of us at Greenville Campus. That's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and LeRae Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And they've been blessed to be able to meet outdoors. That's what they're doing. They got the church all set up in case it was rainy. They could move inside of the church. But these last few weeks, it's been very nice, and they've been able to meet outdoors, and they got some shade there in a nice parking lot. So we'll give you an invitation to attend Greenville as well. A big thank you to Kay and King Singer for picking out my music. She's been so faithful in doing that for so many years, and I appreciate her so very much and the songs that she's willing to share with us. As we get started for the message this morning, I'm speaking on the subject of Jesus answered the why question with a why. You know, last week we took a look at, we have some whys that we want to have the answer God to. We wanted God to give us an answer to the whys of our life. Even why are we going through this pandemic and so on, all those kinds of things. But we need to realize that God has some questions He wants to ask us too. So this morning we're going to give God a chance to ask us some things that maybe we would never even think of. And I believe there's a good lesson for us to learn through these kinds of things. Well, as we get started with the message this morning, we got a song, and the song has also got the word why in it. Why would you give up now when you know Jesus loves you so much? I think this song's a good song for my life. I think it's a good song for your life, because sometimes we get tired, sometimes we get discouraged, and all those kinds of things happen in our life, and we know that we need a message from God. So let's let this song kind of prepare our hearts and minds for the message this morning as we look into the Word of God and what He has for us.
Savior died for a sinner such as I. Sin might be set free. All my sins have been forgiven, I have sweet peace within. Daily walking and talking with my Lord, He's my newfound friend. You ask me why to Calvary He had to go, because He loved us so.
Jesus have to go through all that He went through because He loved us so. And because He loved us so, I like the way that song is started us out this morning. I think that's a good start for today. Got a nice, beautiful, calm lake to look at and a beautiful song to get us started this morning. And we're ready to deliver the message that God has laid upon my heart to share with you this morning. But before we do, I need to do one of the things that I love doing, and that is to remember the listening audience. I don't know who all's praying for you, but I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying for every person that tunes me in at the station, whatever station you tune me in. Those that listen by the way of my website, I'm just asking the Lord's special blessing to bless the listeners. You're my audience this morning, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate you so much that I want to ask God's special blessing to be upon you. So let's bow for a moment. Dear Father, once again we come to you on behalf of the listening audience. I want to pray for each individual that tuned me in this morning. I want to pray for their family. I want to pray for the things they're going through. Some of them are real blessings. Some people have had some real blessings this past week. Others have been going through some of the most difficult times of their life and everything in between. So, Father, I bring them to you this morning. I ask that you might minister to the listening audience and meet their every need according to your will. You tell us if we ask, we will receive. And so, Father, we're asking in behalf of others that you might minister to them. If it's discouragement, give them encouragement today. If it's a fact that they're in a grieving process because of a loss of a loved one or a job or some other loss, would you comfort them this morning? If it is the need is physical, that they're going through some physical difficulties in their life, would you meet them at the point of their pain? Dear Father, would you be pleased and bless those that it's a family situation? We realize there's so many times that the families don't get along with one another. And this corona thing that we've been going through here, Father, has caused even more difficulty in many different family units because it's all surrounded by the family, more time for the family. And as a result of that, sometimes that creates some difficulty knowing how to deal with one another on a daily basis. So, Father, whatever the need is, would you be pleased to meet the need? And we'll thank you and praise you for that. Now, Father, come and honor your word. I thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. I thank you that he loved me, and that's why he went to that cross called Calvary. And I thank you that love reaches out to us no matter what situation we find ourselves in. So come and honor your word this morning and speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Can we say, all the people said, amen. We want God to talk to us this morning because this message is an important. You know, somebody asked one day about Jesus and the Jewish people. Why do Jewish people often answer a question with a question? Many times you find that as we study through the Bible. Someone asked Jesus a question and he would turn around and ask them a question. And you know what the answer to that is? Why shouldn't they? That's just the way it is, folks. That's just a way of life, and we need to know that. And I love it that Jesus often answered a question with a question. But Jesus has some questions that he wants to ask us. And some of the questions come because of some of the things that he went through in his life. And besides that, not only in the ministry that he had here on planet Earth for those 3 years or so, we also is trying to minister to the disciples' lives so they'd be ready to take over when he returned to heaven. And so there's a lot of questions. And I'm glad for the questions that the disciples ask, even the other people ask. I'm glad for the questions that Jesus asked because you know what I found out? We learn from the questions as we hear the answers. We have an example of this in Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 9. Some of the Pharisees and the scribes came from Jerusalem saying to Jesus, they asked, "Why do you disciples break traditions of the ancestors? They do not wash their hands before they eat." He answered them with a question. Now listen, "Why do you break the commandments of God because of your tradition? For example, God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whosoever curses father or mother must be put to death. But you say that whoever tells his father or mother, 'I have given to God whatever support you might have received from me,' does not have to honor his father anymore. Because of your traditions, you have destroyed the authority of God's word. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips. Now listen, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me. Their worship of me is pointless because their teachings are rules made by humans." I'm glad that question was asked of the religious people. Why do you disciples break the traditions? Now, when they're talking about traditions, it didn't mean that they didn't wash their hands before they eat, but they had a special way you had to do it. Special way to wash your hands. You've been hearing a lot in these past few months about washing your hands, washing your hands, washing your hands. Well, you know, they had the Jewish people, the religious people of that day, they had a certain way you're supposed to do it, and you're supposed to do it in that manner. And the disciples weren't doing that. But Jesus answered their question with a question. Why do you allow your traditions to overpower the Word of God? Now, you couldn't think that these religious people would do this when you think about what Jesus used as an example. When he says to them, you know what God's Word said, honor your father and mother. By the way, it's the one of the only commandment that has a promise. Honor your father and mother that you might live a long life and that things might go well with you on planet Earth. And you know what? These religious leaders of Jesus' day, they made a rule that if you gave some money to the temple, you gave some money, so to speak, to God, that you were going to give to your parents to help them out in the difficult times of their life. But if you gave it to God, then you didn't have to honor your parents anymore. And Jesus is saying, why do you make the word of God of no effect? You destroyed the authority of what God is saying by your tradition that the money given to the temple replaces your responsibility to your parents. And he says that doesn't do that. So this question from the religious leaders, Jesus gave a beautiful example as he asked them, why do you do that? And you know, that didn't really make the religious people very happy, but that was still something that was needed to be done by the Lord Jesus in order to bring about what God the Father wanted to have happen in their life. This tradition of the religious people destroyed the authority of God's word. Then he reminds them that the prophet Isaiah had spoken about them. He said, these people draw near to me with their lips. They speak good things. They speak as though they are really following God. But then they're making these traditions like that that shows that that's not really what God's word teaches. God's word teaches that we should be responsible for our parents. They honor me with their lips, but he says their heart is far from me. Dear people, from this first part of the message, we got to learn. God doesn't want our words. He wants our heart. He wants us to surrender our heart to him. Sometimes it's so easy to say words. Words like, I love you. But God wants us to love from the heart. God wants us to realize that we don't want to just do it in word, but we want to do it in deed and in action. And God is reminding us from that, with that. These people are far from me with their heart. I believe God is telling each one of us today that we need to draw near to him, not with our words and saying all the right stuff, but rather with our hearts as we reach out to him. Well, we continue on with the thought for this morning. The disciples one day met a blind man. Jesus was with them. They were walking along, coming into town, and Bobby the blind man was there begging on the corner. And the disciples asked Jesus a question, and it's given to us from John 19:1-9. As Jesus walked along, he saw a blind man who had been blind from birth. The disciples asked him, Rabbi or teacher, why was this man born blind? Did he or his parents' sin? Is that why he was born blind? That was a thought in those days. Something bad happened and you've done some sin. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Instead, he was born blind so that God could show what he can do for him. We must do what the one who sent me to do. And that is to work while it is day. The night when no one can do anything is coming. As long as I'm in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then after that, Jesus spit on the ground. He mixed the spit with dirt. Then he smeared it on the man's face, and he told him, wash it off in the pool Siloam. Siloam means sent. The blind man washed it off and returned. He was able to see. Can you imagine? He took his hands and dipped in and got some water. He put it on his face, and all of a sudden he saw his hands for the very first time. What a blessing. I believe he got some more water, and he splattered it on and got some more. And he could see, and he could just look over his fingers. He knew how his fingers worked, but he didn't never seen his hands. And he returned to Jesus, and the blind man washed off. He was healed. His neighbors and those who had previously seen him beg and ask, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some of them said, he is the one. Others said, no, it isn't he. He just looks like him. But the man himself that had been born blind, he said, I am the one. I was blind, and now I can see. That's going to be his message. Once I was blind, but now I can see. We need to realize that's something pretty special, that Jesus said this worked for this man. But we might ask ourselves, why did this have to happen as the disciples did? It is often found on the lips of those who witness things that they don't know. Why was this necessary? Such was the case with Jesus and his disciples when they encountered this blind man who had been born blind. The disciples were wondering, did he sin? Did his parents sin? What caused this? And Jesus said, you know what? This is because of the fact that I'm going to get to heal him. And then as I heal him, that's going to bring glory to God. What a beautiful example Jesus gave to his disciples. To stop playing the game, the blame game. Try to look for a different answer. This man was born blind that God can show what he can do for him. This blind man that was born blind, that blindness is going to be a benefit to his life when he can see. That's powerful, folks. Unfortunately, rather than to blame the parents or the son, some people still use this passage to blame God. Why would God allow a person to be born blind just so he could do a miracle, just so his son could heal him? Why would God do that? And they get all bent out of shape. But God, I don't believe, is saying so much about what he was able to do for this blind man, but what was going to happen as a result of this man being blind and then being able to see. And what he was going to be able to do as a result of his blindness. The way he was healed would no doubt cause the people to recognize this one Jesus has power. Just to take and spit on the ground and then to make a clay out of that spit and that dirt and put it on the man's face and say to him, go and wash in the pool. I don't know about you, but maybe everybody wouldn't have responded that way. What'd you do that for? He spit on the ground and he made mud and then he put it on the man's face and told him to go wash. You know, God has gotten him to see that he was going to be made with the ability to see something he had not experienced. I believe this is what God is saying to you and I. He wants to display his work through our life. And Jesus can do that when all the difficulties of our life that we have went through, that God is able to use those things to make us able to minister to someone else. We'll take another look at that in just a moment because we need to continue on with what happened as a result of this. I'm so glad for the blind man to be able to see. He'd never seen before. I can't imagine the excitement that he felt inside of him about the ability to see his hands for the first time. I can't imagine the excitement it would cause him to keep getting some water and throwing it in his face. Fanny Crosby. I got the wrong name at first. Fanny Crosby wrote a lot of Christian songs, and they've been sung through the years, many of the old hymns. And someone said she was blind. And someone said to her, "Just too bad you were born blind. You've done so much." And she said to them, "Don't feel sorry for me because I was born blind." Now listen to her response. "The very first face that I will see will be the face of Jesus." That's powerful, folks. That's some of the things that we've got away from. That's some of the confidence that we can have in this God and who he is and what he wants to do for us. As we look at the power of God through the blind man, we see that God healed him, and that's wonderful. And some found fault because he had healed him. Others were blaming his parents or himself for what he had done. We need to keep in mind it's important for each of us as our individual lives, when we're dealing with things in our life that is bigger than us, that God wants to show what he can do through our life. No matter what your background is, no matter what you've gone through in your life, God wants to show, and he's going to do that through this blind man. This man that was blind all of a sudden has an opportunity, not just to sit and beg from people, hoping somebody would throw a little change into his cup. So they asked this man, "How did you receive your sight?" He replied, "The man people called Jesus mixed some spit with dirt and smeared it on my eyes. And then he told me, 'Go to Siloam, the pond, and wash it off.' So I went and washed it off, and I received my sight." They asked him, "Where is this man?" The man answered, "I don't know." Some people brought the man that who had been blind to the Pharisees, the religious people of Jesus' day. The day when Jesus mixed his spit and dirt and gave the man sight was a day of worship. So these religious leaders are really concerned, you know. Who is this that healed a man on the day of worship? The day of worship is for God, not for people. And so they were concerned about them. The day when Jesus did that, it was a worship day. So the Pharisees asked him, the man again, "How did you receive your sight?" The man told the Pharisees, "He put a mixture of spit and dirt on my eyes, and I washed it off, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man who did this is not from God, because he doesn't follow the traditions of the day of worship. He's broke the tradition of the day of worship." Jesus had already talked to them people about that, but they hadn't got the message yet. And you know what? This man, they told him, "He's not of God." Other Pharisees ask us, "How can a man who is a sinner perform miracles like this?" So the Pharisees were divided. They were divided about what had happened to this man. Who had given him his sight? So they asked the man again, "Who is he?" The man answered, "He's a prophet." Now he's doing better than the Pharisees. He's saying, "This is a God man." I love the healed blind man's testimony. The people call him and ask him about it. He says, "All I know," I think the idea is, "all I know is once I was blind, but now I can see. And it was all because of this one Jesus." Jesus changed that man's life tremendously. From sitting and begging with a tin cup to being able to speak to the religious leaders of his day about this one Jesus. He didn't even really know who he was. He had not had that opportunity to know for sure. The religious leaders asked the man how he received his sight again. And then they threw him out of the synagogue. And Jesus had heard that they threw him out of the synagogue. And so he come and he found the blind man. And he said to the blind man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man replied, "Sir, tell me who he is so that I can believe in him." And Jesus said, "The one that is speaking to you is the Son of Man." He bowed in front of the Lord Jesus and he said, "I believe, Lord. I believe." That's powerful, folks. Now it's got something that is personal in his life. You know, I like to add to that, sometimes we need to realize that God is reminding us that we need to believe in him. A big and a beautiful thing was done for this man. And you know what? It was the touch of Jesus upon his life. I'll take a little break and give my voice a few moments of pause and get a sip of my sun-kissed orange juice this morning. But as we do, we're going to listen to a song, "Somebody Touched Me." It's a little different arrangement of this song, of another song along that line. But this is reminding us that somebody touched me. That blind man, he didn't see Jesus when he touched him, but he saw the effect of Jesus' touch. And now we're going to see the effect of that in his life.
As he groped along the streets, with his hands stretched out for pennies, or for just a bite to eat. It's the story of a blind man who met Jesus on his way, and with the master's touch, the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, "Somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found since he touched me, I now am free." One day he touched a crippled man, and he made him walk again. Then the master saw with pleasure he had laid, like the story of that crippled man, "I once was bound by sin, but since the master came, oh praise his name, thank God I now can say, somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. Somebody touched me.
I was in darkness when Jesus died.
and I can say, praise God, I'm free. Somebody touched me. It was just one Jesus to bring about some results in our life that we couldn't bring about ourselves. That blind man could not do a thing to help himself, but Jesus gave him his sight. And then he was busy giving response to the Lord Jesus. I love it that Jesus found him and asked him the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? And I love the man's reply, sir, tell me who he is so I can believe in him. That's what we're doing this morning. We're telling you who he is, this one Jesus, so we can believe in him. Jesus said, the one that is now speaking to you, he's the Son of God, the Son of Man. And he bowed, that blind man bowed in the presence of Jesus. And he said, I believe, Lord. This brings me to a question Jesus asked the religious leaders one day when he had a serious conversation with them. He asked them, why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe me? The religious leaders did not receive the Lord Jesus. Now, this is one of the strongest conversations that Jesus had with the religious people. And it ended up in them wanting to stone him, kill him. Let me just read it for you from the book of John, chapter 8, verse 46. Jesus asked the religious leaders, can any of you convict me of committing a sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe me, religious people? Religious leaders, why don't you believe me? The person who belongs to God understands what God says. You don't seem to understand because you don't belong to God. Man, that's going to make these Jewish leaders really mad at him. Jesus replied to the Jews replied to Jesus, aren't we right when we say that you are a Samaritan, that you are possessed by a demon? Can you imagine that? These religious leaders were calling Jesus a no-gooder like the Samaritans. And then they were saying he's possessed with a demon. Jesus answered, I'm not possessed. I honor my Father, but you dishonor me. I don't want my own glory. Now there is someone who wants it, and he's the judge. And I can guarantee you this truth. Whoever obeys what he says will never see death. The Jews told Jesus, now we know you're possessed by a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, but you say, whoever does what I say will never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? The prophets also who have all died? Who do you think you are? Jesus said, if I bring glory to myself, my glory is nothing. My Father is the one who gives me glory, and you say that he is your God. Yet you haven't known him. However, I know him. If I would say that I didn't know him, I would be a liar like all of you. But I do know him, and I do know what he says. Your father Abraham was pleased to see my days was coming. He saw it, and he was happy. The Jews said to Jesus, you're not even 50 years old. How could you have been with Abraham? Jesus told him, I guarantee you this truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Then some of the Jews picked up stones to throw at Jesus, and they were going to kill him. However, Jesus concealed himself and disappeared out of the temple yard. Dear people, that's the religious people Jesus was confronted with. They had wanted nothing to do with him. And then he's saying to the idea, why don't you believe me? Why are they so wrapped up in their religious way of life? To add sadness to this fact that they wouldn't believe. The idea that they gathered up some stones and were going to kill him. Religious people who don't even ought to practice kindness to this man. At least listen to what he has to say. Jesus responded by disappearing out of their presence. The man, I think, is so important for us to understand. If you believe in this one Jesus, you need to know that's a special thought. I love the man who came to Jesus when his daughter was sick. And he wanted Jesus to heal his daughter. And Jesus said to him, whoever you disbelieve and it'll be okay. And the man said this to Jesus, which I've prayed many times. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were not willing to say they believed. Because they didn't. They rejected him. They wanted to kill him. They didn't kill him that day, but through the works of the days to come, they worked it out so that he was killed. But he tells us that when we believe in him, we have a hope that goes even beyond the idea of death itself. Even though the religious people didn't believe him of Jesus' day, I'm glad that blind man did. I'm glad I did. And I think there's even a greater question than that, which is asked of every single one of us. Why, he asked the religious people, why don't you believe? I think he's asking you and I today, who do you say Jesus is? Do you believe in him? There's a story told in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17, that was really a growing experience in the disciples' lives. And you and I need this same growing experience in our life. When we have to come down to the point of deciding for ourselves, who is this one Jesus? The religious leaders said he's demon-possessed. They said he's a Samaritan trying to tell the Jews how to live. When he came to the district of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some people are saying that you're John the Baptist. Now John the Baptist had been killed, so John the Baptist would have been resurrected. Others say you're the Old Testament prophet Elijah. And others say, no, he's the prophet Jeremiah. Or else he's one of the other prophets. Then Jesus looked, I believe, the disciples right in their eyes as he listens to their answer. And then he said to them, now listen, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? All of a sudden, they're on the spot. All of a sudden, they got to give an answer. And Peter, he was often the spokesman, so Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what God's Son, Jesus, wanted to hear. That was important for him to hear, to know that the disciples were beginning to understand who he really was. Because they could have listened to all of the different things that the people were saying about him. They could have listened to the religious leaders. They all probably had a part of that, some of that kind of religion in their lives. But who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love Jesus' answer. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. You're blessed, Simon, because you know who I am. I love the relationship between Jesus and the disciples, and he knew they were in a position to hear what the people were saying about who Jesus was as he went from town to town. So he asked them, who do people say that I am? And then they would respond with the things that they had heard about him. about some say you're John the Baptist and all these other names that were mentioned. But then Jesus brings it right home to them as he does to me, as he does to you. But who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? I would like to think that Jesus really wanted to know the answer to the questions of the disciples, to the answer of the question from the disciples rather than the crowd. He's asking them to see if they'll have come to that. When Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," I believe with all of my heart that brought happiness to the face of the Lord Jesus. And I love the response of Jesus. The Father's done that. The Father's revealed that to you, and you need to know that. I believe what the Father revealed to Peter, he also wants to reveal to you and I. So I ask the same question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say Jesus is? What do you think about him? What's some of the things that he means to you as an individual? Because, you know, there's another time in the life of Jesus, which I don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but I want to just spend a little bit. When Jesus asked the people, "Why do you call me Lord, and you do not do the things that I tell you to do?" Jesus said, you know, I want to tell you in a very simple way what it's like to obey me. He said, there's two people going to build a house, two different houses. And the one man dug down deep and he got under bedrock for a solid foundation. And when the storms of life came, because they will come, and when the storms of life came, they beat upon that house, but it didn't fall. It stood. The other man built his house on the sand, no solid foundation. And when the rains and the floods came, all of a sudden that house entered in destruction. And great was the destruction of that house. Jesus is saying, it makes a difference what you build your life upon. A solid foundation or the shifting sand? I believe Jesus is saying when Peter said that, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus went on to say, "Peter, that's the foundation I'm going to build my church on. That's the truth of what I'm going to build upon for my church." And God's saying to you and I, he wants us to build our lives upon that same foundation, the foundation that Jesus Christ is the foundation for your life and for my life. Interesting thing happened after Jesus told that story about those two houses. You see, when Jesus finished talking his speech, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Now listen to what they said. "It's unlike the scribes' teaching. Jesus teaches with authority." And that's what God wants us to understand. God wants us to understand that this is so important for us to be able to realize what God does for each one of us and how much he means to each one of us. I want to just close with some simple things that I haven't said in a long time, and I all of a sudden miss that I hadn't said this, because it's one of the things that I often, when I was preaching, every now and then I would just go through this series, these thoughts. When you think about Jesus, who is Jesus? In the Old Testament, they had lots of names for God. He was the anchor, he was the shelter, he was the tabernacle, lots of different things. I love the simple way Jesus taught it when he was here. He said, "I am the shepherd, you are the sheep. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the bread of life, and you're in need of food. I am the water of life, and you are thirsty. I am the creator, and you are the creation. I am the light, and you walk in blindness." in the blindness of my life and the blindness of your life. Jesus wants to heal like he healed the man in days of old. Later on, he healed a couple other blind men. And he did it simply because he had compassion upon them. As I close, I want you to know this morning, God wants to heal whatever the wounds are of your life. And underneath the scar that has come as a result of that wound, there is those scars. And under those scars, God wants to bring some healing to your life. So as we go on our way, we need to trust this great God with what he's able to do for each and every one of us. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
I used to wish that I could rewrite history. I used to dream that each mistake could be erased. That I could just pretend merciful you are.